Normally we're done by about 10 or 10:30, is it? Kan nie onthou nie, maar ek weet ons preek nie juist baie lank nie, but we have a fairly busy schedule this morning. Leon, dis lekker om jou terug te sien van Namibia af. Ek is bly dat jy nie daar gehou nie. Ons wil jou hier, halleluja. To every single person that has come this morning, God bless you and trust that God is going to meet you at your point of need. It's my privilege to share the word of God with you this morning, and by his help, I trust that you're going to be able to hear exactly what it is that he wanted you to hear. I'd be doing a disservice if I did not thank our sponsors, Aquavac, that has sponsored our ride to Sony. So a big thank you to them. Without them, it would probably not be possible. We've been speaking about being ready. As the disciples and Christian of God, about being ready. We looked at last week just three aspects quickly. That you've got to realize the urgency and necessity of needing to be saved. Because as jy nie dink jy moet gered word nie, gaan jy ook nie 'n drang in jou gees hê om dit met ander te kan deel. And when we realize just how desperately we are in need of saving, we will then go and share that with other people. The second aspect we looked at is the power of your testimony. That you have a story to tell. So you don't have to be teachy or preachy or have memorized scripture verses or anything like that. You need to just be able to share your stories to what your life was like before Jesus and how you came to know Jesus and how your life has changed since then. And the third point we looked at is that your walk with Jesus must be real. The person of Jesus must be real to you. Not just iemand daarbo en jy hieronder en alles wat jy geleer het, dat jy by ander mense geleer. That you must have a personal experience with Jesus. Because when you live that out, ander mense sal dit dan raak sien en dit gaan baie meer beteken vir hulle somtijds as iets wat hulle net op hulle eie in die Bybel lees. Those are the things we just looked at last week. And this week we're going to go into it a little bit deeper. We're going to look at 6 points quickly that will help us to understand what it means to be ready. So let's see how far we get, how much time allows. Are you ready to receive something from the Lord this morning, church? Hold on to your seats and experience the ride of your life as God ministers his life to us. Point number one, it's going to cost us something to be ready. How many of you have received something for free? Actually, nothing is for free. Nothing. Even if you've received it for free, somehow, somewhere along the line, somebody has sown something into the universe for you to be able to reap it. There is nothing for free. Christians speak about free salvation. It cost Jesus his life. Luke chapter 9, verse 57. I'm going to read to verse 62. And as they were walking along, someone said to Jesus, "I will follow you wherever you go." But Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens to live in and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." And he said to another person, "Come follow me." And the man agreed, but he said, "Lord, first let me return home and bury my father." But Jesus told him, "Let the spiritually dead bury their own dead. Your duty is to go and preach the kingdom of God." And another said, "Yes, Lord, I will follow you. But first let me say goodbye to my family." But Jesus told him, "Anyone who puts a hand to the plow and then looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God." And Jesus illustrates to us that it's going to cost us something to be ready to be a disciple, to be ready to share our faith with others. There is absolutely nothing that is free. Are you still good? Point number two, I love this one. Being ready will require an unwavering love for Jesus Christ and not a sense of duty. Say that again. It will require an unwavering love for Jesus and not a sense of duty. As geliefde, as jy sondag na sondag hier opdaag en jy voel, hoorie, ek moet nou iets omtrent doen, want hierdie prekery gaan net aan oor gaan aan en deel en getuig en jy kry 'n skuldige gevoel, is dit 10 teen 1 'n sin van dienspligtigheid wat jou motiveer in steede van 'n werking wat die Heilige Gees in jou begin. wat die Here sy liefde vir 'n verlore wêreld in jou inplaas, dat jy iets daaromtrent kan doen en met ander mense begin deel. Because if it's a sense of duty, you're going to be tired, you're going to be frustrated, you're going to be disappointed, die finansies gaan opraak. But if you love the Lord Jesus Christ and you're doing it because He's given us the command, the commission to do that instead of a pastoor wat sondig op jou geskree het, it will change everything. It's not a sense of duty that will make you ready, but an unwavering love for Jesus Christ will keep you ready. Luke 14 and verse 26 to verse 28. Jesus says, if you want to be my disciple, you must hate everyone else by comparison. Ek het nou jare terug toe ek hierdie vers gelees het in ander vertalings, my bietjie deur mekaar gemaak, because dit staan geskrewe, if you follow me, you must hate everyone. I was like, hoe werk dit dan? Dit maak nie vir my sin nie. But the context is this, that's why this translation says it like this. In comparison to me, the affection and the devotion and the love and the care that you have for other people, compared to how you love me, must amount to hate. Now think about that, folks. Think about the person you love the dearest, the person that you would lay down your life for. That compassion for that person must be like hate compared to your compassion and love for Jesus. He says, you must hate your father, your mother, your wife, your children, brothers and sisters. Some of the guys are thinking, it's easy for me to hate my mother-in-law. Yes, even your own life. Otherwise, you cannot be my disciple. Why not? I wrestle, why not? Because Jesus knows, daar gaan 'n tyd kom, waar jy 'n beslissing sal moet maak in jou lewe. To follow Christ uncompromisingly, or to submit to the preference of another person that you love, and to save face with them. That's why it says you can't be my disciple. Because if you haven't made that commitment yet, Lord, I love you above all else. There's going to come a time where as a disciple, you will falter. You would have put your hands to the plow. You'll come to a crisis of faith and you'll look back. You see, folks, decision making is easy when there's no compromise in your value system. How's that, Jim? Decision making is easy when there's no compromise in your value system. If you're willing to compromise with things, you'll come to this, mutek, you know, shuda, or shuda. Whereas if there's no compromise in your value system, it's either God's way or the highway. Simple. And Jesus realizes this. That is why he says, you cannot be my disciple if your love for me is greater than your love, is not greater than your love for other things and other people. And verse 28, he says, but don't begin until you count the costs. For who would begin construction of a building without first calculating the cost to see if there's enough money to finish it? This kind of love will keep us ready, not a sense of duty. What is the cross that Jesus speaks about, just briefly? Thank God we don't have to bear a physical cross on our backs. Can you say amen? The cross that we'll have to bear to be a disciple is the things that God brings across your path to keep you at a place where you're humbly submitted to Him. It's the things that He'll bring across your path waar jy nie anderste, geen ander keuse het anderste as om op Hom te vertrou. Because if you're in a situation where you can help yourself out and the bank balance allows and there's enough buddies around you and you've got a system and a plan and all those things are good, they have their time and their place. But if that's all you have, you never need to rely on God. So the cross that we will have to bear are the things that God allows in our lives to help us die to self. What did the cross symbolize for Jesus? Death. That's it. Death. Separation from the Father, becoming sin for us. So the cross that we have to bear are the things that God allows into your life. Al bid jy hoe, al is jy hoe gededicated en gecommitted en loyaal teenoor die dinge van die Here, He'll still allow things in your life to enable you and teach you to die to self. That's the cross that we'll have to bear. And if we're not ready for that, we're not ready to be a disciple. Daarom sê Jesus, count the costs. You see, I don't know what it was like for you, but when I came to know the Lord before that, I expected so much. I'd learned you get so much and just receive, 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 receive. There was very little taught to me about how much you'd have to give and give and give and give and lay down. You think you're given, you sacrifice, but when you receive the rewards that God reciprocates back to your life, mense, jy kan dit dan nie vergelyk nie. Are you with me, church? Point number three. Being ready will take time. I remember there's a brother that no longer fellowships with us. Rode for another club. Decided to start living for Jesus and not just believe in Jesus. And he had this idea that he's going to go back to his friends, he's going to call a meeting together, and he's going to tell them all about Jesus. They're all going to lay down their patch, and they're all going to start living for Jesus. Boy, was a verrassing verwachting for him. Because it wasn't like that. They checked him out like, so by the way, and then carried on visiting with Jack Daniels and the boys. Het maar net aangegaan. And he had this expectation that that's it. I'm born again now and I'm living for Jesus. I'm just going to go tell all my buddies and just quick. Hulle gaan net so draai. Nou die dag het 'n sekere omgee groep leier met my gedeel en sê, "Mosie, ek het vir soveel jare gebid en gebid en gebid en getuig en nie gestoot nie, maar bemoedig totdat daai persoon beland het waar hulle is vandag in die doopwaters." Being ready is going to take time. It's going to take time for you to be ready. How many of you, when you gave your lives to the Lord Jesus, you were born again, I mean, you really had a Holy Spirit encounter with Jesus, you suddenly stopped all of your sinning. Can I see your hands? Jy lieg, man. Jy het nog steeds gesondig. You've even sinned after that. You gave your life to Jesus, you really had a Holy Spirit encounter with God. It took you time to learn the disciplines of Christianity. You go from being an unbeliever to a believer. Then you become a servant. Then you realize it requires discipline. Then you become a disciple. And then a disciple grows into being a son and daughter in the house of God. It takes time for us to mature. And guess what? We're still busy maturing. Come on. We're all a work of grace in progress. It's going to take time for yourself and also the people that you start ministering to. Nothing worthwhile comes easy. I remember years ago when I decided to go gym for the first time, I had this discussion. And you know the story with me and Jim. Everybody knows it. Who doesn't know it? Don't be okay, for die van julle wat nie weet nie, I do gym in my spare time. And by looking at me, you can see I don't have a lot of spare time. But I decided I'm going to go to gym. And I said to myself, I just want to go and get a little bit fitter, you know, just make sure my physique is just in better shape. I don't really want to get big and bulky and muscular like these. Because I thought you go there and you gooi a paar weights around and you pop a couple of tabs and then you're going to get, but little did I know, it's a lifelong commitment. A life. Long commitment. And this thing about being ready as a disciple, we spoke last week about in season and out of season, tydig en ontydig. Folks, it's going to take time. You're going to walk a little bit, stumble and fall. One step forward, three steps back. And then it'll be one step forward, two steps back. And then it'll be one step forward, and I'm laying it off. And I'm falling in. And then another step forward, another step forward, another step forward, one back. That's the walk of a disciple. That's the walk. So it's going to cost us. Galatians 6 and verse 9. So let's not get tired of doing what's good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we do not give up. Hallelujah. My encouragement to you. If you've been walking a walk with the Lord and you're thinking, Mosie, daar's geen vrug van die gees in my lewe nie. I haven't led one person to the Lord in forever, and what? Just keep at it. Keep at it. The breakthrough will come if you do not give up. The blessing will come. You still with me, church? Point number four. Expect breakthrough, but prepare for the battle of opposition. Expect breakthrough, but be prepared for the battle of opposition. Years ago on TV, when grass was something you sat on, and gay still meant happy, you cooked in pot. There was a program on TV called Pop Shop, presented by Mr. David Gresham. How many of you remember that? David Gresham used to say, keep your feet in the ground and reach for the stars. And you take it a little bit further. If you reach for the stars and you miss, you might land on the moon. So expect breakthrough. Moenie sinies raak nie. You're just waiting for something bad to happen. No, expect breakthrough. But at the same time, be prepared for battle. Be prepared for the battle of opposition. Not everybody, especially the devil, is going to get excited when you come with this Christian stuff. Some of you are smiling and nodding your head. Not everybody is going to be excited at you. This. Jy het wat gedoen? Jy het kerk toe gegaan. Is jy okay, ou? Kan ek jou dopgooi? Not everybody is going to get excited that you're going to start living for Jesus, especially the devil. If you want the devil to leave you alone, voeter voort op jou eie. But if you want the opposition of Hades to break loose in your life, make a commitment to live and love like Jesus. And then you're going to see the opposition start. Hey, am I speaking to the right people this morning, church? So, expect breakthrough, but prepare for the battle of opposition. Paul writes to the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 9. And he says, there's a wide open door for a great work here, although many oppose me. The more of a threat you become to the devil, the more he'll oppose you. Maybe you're sitting here and you're thinking, yes, Mozzie, I don't get any attacks or onslaughts from the devil at all. Everything just goes plain sailing in my life. Well, my brother, my sister, maybe you're not big enough of a threat to him. Ouch. I'll just leave that one there. Point number five. And this one the devil gets a lot of mileage out of. You see, folks, the biggest common denominator in issues with people and their lives is a swak selfbeeld, a low self-image. You see, because the devil, whether you've given your life to Jesus or not, he hates you just because you're made in the image of God. And thy selfbeeld van wie jy eintlik is in Christus, wil hy heeltyd kom aanval en afbreek. En hy wil jou heeltyd oortuig en beskuldig dat jy nie goed genoeg is nie, ongeag wat jy doen. That's why he's called the accuser of the brethren. And when does he do it? The Bible says day and night. Dag en nacht. Dag en nacht. Anyway, he accuses you. He accuses you. And maybe you're sitting here thinking, yeah, Mozzie, it's easy for you because you can speak in front of people. Ek kan nie. I can't because I grew up on this side of the railway line. Or my father was this and my mother was that. Or I didn't know either of them and I was raised up in an orphanage. Or the cops are still looking for me. Or whatever. Relax, I'm not going to bust you. You come up with all these reasons why you can't. Nee, nou nie, ek's net bietjie besig om hierdie nuwe maatskappy van ons te stig en all these reasons why you can't be. I want to tell you, my brother, my sister, if you've not heard anything I've said up to now, listen to this. You have what it takes. You have what it takes to be a disciple. Some of you still don't believe it. That's okay. Only the Holy Spirit can convince you of that. I can't. You have what it takes to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. You have what it takes. The Bible says this. 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 6. He's enabled us to be ministers of His new covenant. He's enabled us to be ministers of His new covenant. The O's that are ministers of the covenant are the guys that stand up on a platform with a microphone on a Sunday, right? No. I'm looking at the ministers of the new covenant of the gospel. I'm looking at the ministers of the new covenant of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Daar's mense se lewens wat jy 'n invloed oor het, wat geen ander mens inspraak het in 'n lewens nie behalwe jy. And you. And you. And you. God is just waiting for you to take that small little step of obedience for you to start impacting that person with the kingdom of God. And you dink vir jouself, en die duivel sê vir jou, ja, maar wat van jou verlede? Kyk na jou track record, my boet, jy's 'n moegoe. Ja, jy is, maar ek is 'n moegu wat gewas is in die bloed van Jesus. Nou is my lewe, amen. Nou is my naam geskrewe in die boek van die lewe. And he's got a plan and a purpose for you to touch people wherever you are. You have what it takes to be a disciple. Stop listening to the lies of the devil that you're not good enough for Christian ministry. And guess what? I'm telling you now, I am not good enough for Christian ministry. Maar jy is dan die pastoor. Yes, guess what? I sin. Moenie nou weghardloop en 'n ander kerk gaan soek. Because jy gaan nie daai kerk kry waar die prediker whatever is sinless. So don't think to yourself, yeah, I can't because. That's why we have grace. It is not a license to sin and to do whatever you want. It is the oh, Lord help me here. Grace is the freedom to live out the life that God has called you to. Just please meditate on the truth of that. Grace is the freedom to live out the life that God has called you to. Because a person who lives under grace is not somebody who never sins. A person who lives under grace is when they fall and stumble and they blow it big time. Mense sien dan raak, daai man gaan op sy knie, daai vrou en sê, Here, I've done it again. Please forgive me, God. And you know what it does? It gives them hope. It gives them encouragement that, yo, look at that. That's what I can do. Maybe I can come to God. Maybe I can come to God and ask for forgiveness. And I can also live a life differently. That's why I want to tell you this morning, my brother, my sister, you have what it takes to be a disciple of Jesus. Point number six, last point, and then I'm done preaching. For now. On the 6 points. Just give myself some leeway here. Just drop the mic like a rapper. Do what I want to just drop the mic. Okay, hier gaat ons. And this I'm so guilty of. I recently took a stock take of how much time I spend on social media compared to how much time I spend meditating in the Word of God. And I was ashamed. I was ashamed. I know you're not. You guys are spiritual. But I was ashamed of how much time I spend wasted on social media, in whatever form it is, compared to how much time I spend meditating on the Word of God. You see, yesterday was an interesting day for me. Started the day off wonderfully officiating at Mr. and Mrs. Libba's wedding. Gaan en huis toe. Amen. Hallelujah. That's Diem and Zani, as you need weet nie. Wens hulle geluk na die tyd. Getting ready for the second ceremony in the afternoon. And in the meantime, I got the news of the passing of a dear friend. Young guy. We were part of the worship team together in Midrand. Yes, they had nobody else, so I was part of the team. He's gone. He's dead. And then I realized how short and precious time is. Folks, we don't realize how much time we've got left. Or how much time is left for the people that we're trying to reach with the good news of Jesus. That feeling that you get inside that you just got to op jou eie manier net klein bietjie met hulle deel. Don't let that moment go past. You might never get an opportunity again. So point number six is let's not waste time in making sure that we are ready disciples. Ephesians 5, verse 16 to 17 says, make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. The New King James says, redeem the time. So as the deep end comes up, I'd like to just recap on these 6 points quickly to make sure that we are ready. Being ready is going to cost us. It's worth it, so it's going to cost us. Number two, being ready will require an unwavering love for Christ and not a sense of duty. Number three, being ready will take time. Nothing worthwhile comes easy. Number four, expect breakthrough, but prepare for the battle of opposition. Number five, you do have what it takes to be a ready disciple. And number six, let's not waste time in making sure that we are ready disciples. As we enter into a time of praying for each other now and more time of worship, let's ask ourselves these questions. In these 2 weeks, how's your perception of readiness changed? Secondly, what do you think Jesus meant for you when he said to you, carry your cross? And then thirdly, discuss the ways in which you can better utilize your time to be a ready disciple for Jesus. As the Deep End ministers to us, with music in the background, I want to pray with you right there where you're seated. We are all at different places in our lives. Some of us on the same page. Some of us haven't even opened the book. Speak, Lord, your servant hears. Some of us haven't even opened the book. So wherever you are at, that's fine. We're here not because we've got our act together, but because we come to God to help us in our journey to get our act together. So if it helps you stay focused on the Lord when you pray, you can close your eyes, but you don't have to. What I want to ask is that you just focus on the Lord in these few tender moments, please. As the Spirit of God has moved in our midst, maybe you've never gotten to a place in your life where you think, yes, Mozzie, I can actually do something for Jesus. And you realize that you'd like to do that. Not because your emotions have been swept up by a good song or two or some funny comment in a preach, but because the Holy Spirit is convicting you right there where you sit and challenging your heart that you actually can do something. My encouragement to you is count the costs. Be willing to lose everything and gain what Christ has for you. To be somebody that's ready to share his good news. And if that is you, you just in yourself, you say, maybe it's the first time, I don't know, maybe it's a recommitment. You want to start doing something for Jesus. You know the Lord, but you just want to be effective. If that is you, I want to pray with you this morning. Right there where you seated, that Father, you know every one of our thoughts in every single person's head right now. Lord, those that are reaching out to you in prayer, Lord, we pray for each other this morning. We ask that you work in our lives in such a way, Father, that we can take that first step to do that first act of Christian service, whatever it may be, whatever it may look like. Give us the courage and the strength and the wisdom to do it as unto you. May these people step out in boldness in Jesus' name. The next group I want to pray for is that you've known the Lord for a while and there was a time where you were more on fire for the Lord than you are right now. And you have grown tired and weary in doing good and you've become a little bit discouraged because of whatever's happened in your life. If that is you, God knows your heart, my brother, my sister, and he sees where you are at. And we're going to pray with each other this morning. Lord, you're the one who gives us the special kind of strength that we need to keep on keeping on. You're the one who equips us, Lord God. You're the one who refreshes us when we're tired and weary. And it is your joy, Lord God, that is our strength. And I pray for my brothers and sisters who are praying this in their heart right now, Lord, that you would strengthen them through the power of your Spirit in their inner being, in the name of Jesus. And may they start out anew today as they leave this building, refreshed and ready to face what may come in Jesus' name. And then as we continue to pray, if you're sitting here this morning and you don't even have a relationship with Jesus, you're not even sure if you're going to make it to heaven one day, for whatever reason, if you're not 100% sure in your heart that you're going to spend eternity in heaven, I want to pray with you this morning. If that is you, would you raise your hand quickly, please? Anybody like that here this morning? Thank you. Thank you. There's several hands going up. Bless you. Would you stand together as we worship the Lord together? Everybody stand to your seat, please. All of us, all congregation.